Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service this morning. It's good to see you all here once again. Just say at the start, we mentioned during the discussions that it's the local elections this week. And we all asked to remember everybody who's standing for election, but especially Titus, who's one of our members of our fellowship, who's put his name forward. And whatever our political affiliations may be, I think we should give thanks for all of those who do stand for election, and especially remember Titus in this coming week as he has put his name forward. And sometimes, of course, that results in people making not very pleasant comments to people. So we hope that's not occurring, Titus. And we hope that you have a very good week to come. So Martin is conducting our service this morning. So I will now hand over to Martin.
Thank you, Adrian. Let's just bow our heads and pray as we come before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to come and the freedom to be able to come and worship you. We thank you that you are meeting with us because you have said, where two or three gather in my name, I am there in the midst. And although we are not in a physical proximity to one another in this Zoom meeting, we are meeting together in your name. Whatever the events of the last week, whatever the events of the coming week, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would hand them over to you so that this morning, as we spend these few moments together, we would be focused upon you and upon your word and upon what you want to say to us. Bless us as we worship, open our hearts to receive from you, and be with us in our service this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So we will sing together. I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, you're looking into my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, 'cause it's all about you, it's all about you.
It's an interesting song, that one. It says, sometimes we're guilty of making worship the thing that we are focusing upon, when we should always be focusing, I believe, upon Jesus. We're going to watch a little video, really, on Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. So let's just listen to this reading.
Philip was one of Jesus' 12 followers. He was busy telling people about Jesus when an angel spoke to him.
Philip, go out on the road.
Along came a very important officer from Ethiopia, riding in his chariot. He was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. Philip ran alongside the chariot to talk to the man.
Do you understand what you're reading?
No.
I need someone to explain it to me.
The officer stopped the chariot. And invited Philip to sit with him. The verse of scripture the Ethiopian was reading was this. He was like a sheep being led to be killed. He said nothing and died without children to continue his family.
Please tell me, who was the prophet talking about?
Philip explained that Isaiah was actually writing about Jesus. As they continued, the Ethiopian man began to believe in Jesus. Soon the chariot came near a stream.
Look, here's some water. What stops me from being baptized right now?
So they stopped the chariot. And Philip baptized him. When they walked back out of the water, God wanted Philip to preach in another place. So, just like that, Philip was gone. So the officer returned home with his heart full of joy.
So as we pause for thought on that very well-known story, and as with a lot of these New Testament passages, there are many things that we can bring out of it, but I just want to just have a few moments to think. Philip was being very effective in his ministry where he was, and yet the angel came and told him to go upon this road. And as you look at the scriptures, I think it's described as like the back route. It's a route that you wouldn't normally go along. It's not a very popular route. But Philip is obedient. He could have just said, but I'm still preaching here and people are responding and the church is growing here, so why should I move for somewhere else? But because God told him to, Philip was obedient and started to move along this road. Then we're told that this Ethiopian eunuch came along in his chariot. We're not told where he's been or where he's going, other than we assume he's going home. But we are told that he's reading the prophet Isaiah. And what he's reading, he doesn't understand. And my first sort of real thought to this is, how many people do we know who read or quote you passages of scripture that they don't really understand what they mean? They know them because either they've been taught them as a child, or they've learnt them like I did as a child as memory verses, and you just repeat them. Or they're just common phrases that have been adopted by society, but they don't actually understand. And how many people do we know, like, for instance, as a illustration, my mum years ago picked up the Bible and read it from cover to cover, which I was really pleased about. But just because she's read it, she doesn't understand it. She doesn't understand the message of the Bible. And I wonder how many people we're all in contact with who are in that camp. And the Spirit tells Philip to run alongside the chariot. Now, we don't know how fast the chariot was going, but we sort of make the assumption that the Spirit empowers Philip to do this. And he asks the man, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says no. So he invites him into his chariot, and Philip has the opportunity to open up the scriptures to this person. And he reveals who Jesus is. He reveals that Isaiah is talking about Jesus as the Son of God, as the coming Messiah, as the Savior. And the man makes an immediate response to what he's heard, to this message, because it says, then they came upon some water, a pool or an oasis or whatever. And he says, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, maybe I think in our modern day, we may well say, well, you've not been a Christian long enough, or you haven't done the right courses, or you don't understand the Bible well enough. But he asks this question. They stop the chariot and Philip baptizes him. So this man, we can infer from this scripture, or that became a Christian, sort of followed the faith, went back full of faith. So Philip then is led by the Holy Spirit to be in that place at that time to reach that individual so that he could be saved. And I wonder how many times we're put in a position where we really have an opportunity to talk about our faith, to talk about our God, because the person we're talking to is ripe to be harvested into the Christian faith, even though we may find that difficult. So I've chosen a hymn to follow this. And it was when I was preparing, this one came to mind. Tell me the old story. We should be telling the old stories of Jesus. We should be proclaiming his love and his faith and his faithfulness to us, that others can be saved. So let's sing together, Tell Me the Old Story. I wonder if we ever really still get excited about the old stories of Jesus, about the things that he has done and is doing for us. And as I say earlier on, we should be encouraged to continue to share those stories with one another and with those that we come into contact with. We're going to have our second reading now, and Ma has kindly agreed to read this for me. So she's going to read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Thanks, Ma.
Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm reading from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine, grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruits, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruits if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. So such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father.
Thanks very much, Ma. I don't want to spend ages on this, but I just want to look at this passage. Again, it's one that we all know very well. It's one of the great I ams of Jesus's teaching. And Jesus declares at the beginning, I am the vine. I am the true vine. Life and sustenance comes through him. He says that each branch must bear fruit. And if it bears fruit, then God prunes it to enable it to become more fruitful. And if it doesn't bear fruit, that branch is then cut off and thrown into the fire. It's quite a simple story, really, isn't it? I don't know anything about growing grapes, despite the background. I don't grow grapes. I don't understand much about the growing of them. I don't know if you can take little cuttings and cause them to grow. But I do know that often to increase the produce of a grapevine, the gardener will take cuttings and graft them onto the vine. And we have been grafted onto the true vine. And this is, again, it's quite a simple illustration that Jesus is using. We are not originally of that vine. We are of a different vine that is struggling to grow. And he's taken the bits that are fruitful, the bits that he wants to be fruitful, and he's cut them and he's grafted them into the true vine, into Jesus. And because we've been grafted into that vine, that's where we get our nutrients from. We get them from the true vine. He feeds us, he feeds us and he nurtures us. And in return, he wants us to bear fruit. So my question is, do we bear fruit? I can ask this question, and I'm asking it very, very much of myself, is when was the last time I talked about my faith to somebody who is not a Christian and saw them become a Christian? And I have to say, it's a long time ago. I'm not particularly forthcoming about sharing my faith at times. Sometimes at work, in a conversation, somebody will generally talk about things and we can have a conversation. So I do sometimes share it, but I'm not maybe as keen as maybe I was when I was in my teens. Is that because I've lost confidence in my faith? That could be an answer. Is it because many of my friends are already Christians that could be the case. But is it because I'm not looking for opportunities to share my faith? And therefore, am I being fruitful? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. So when God comes along to check the vine for fruit, is he going to prune me, or is he going to chop me off to be thrown in the fire? And that's quite a challenge, isn't it? So we need to consider this question regarding not only our individual lives, but also our life as a church. So Jesus states that if we remain in him, grafted to the true vine, then we can ask him for whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a sermon in itself, because I think there's a great lesson that we need in there, because it simply says, Jesus says, if you remain in me, you can ask me for whatever you wish, and it will be done. I'm not going into that. That's another deep study. So the question is, as we move forward, is as we bear fruit, we grow. So we have the true vine and the branches. Now, the next stage from there, thanks, Adrian, that's my controller at work that we all moan about. initially, the thing is, the branches become fruitful. And the next one? And because they're fruitful, they're pruned. Now, I find this quite a challenge, really, because like our roses in the garden, if we get nice rose heads, I like to keep them. But after a while, you have to chop them off. And you chop them off to encourage more growth. So we're pruned so that we can become fruitful. That's the next one, Adrian. And equal to Graham again then. So we become more fruitful. So in pruning, we become better producers of it so that we can then be pruned again. And because we then get pruned again, we become fruitful. So you can see it's like a circle. You produce fruit, you're pruned, so that you can produce fruit, so that then you're pruned, so you can produce fruit. And it's that cycle. And that is what the Christian life should be about. It's what the life of church should be about. It's not only our individual lives, it's also the life of a church, is that we should, as a church, be producing fruit. And then God can come prune the church so that we can become more fruitful. And surely our desire as Christians and as a church should be that we want to see the unsaved coming in, hearing the message and responding to that Christian message and being saved as well. So there's a real challenge in that, and it is a circle. But the other side of this is we're grafted into the branches and we become unfruitful. So we don't produce fruit. And it might be you're given a year, maybe two seasons to see if you produce fruit. But when you're not fruitful continuously, God comes along and he prunes that branch. He cuts off the non-fruitful branches. For what reason? To be burned. So it's if you don't produce fruit, that's the end. At the end of the day, God comes along and says, look, you're not producing fruit. You're taking away from you're taking the sustenance, but you're not producing things. So we cut you off and you're put on one side to be burned. And it's quite a harsh reality, isn't it, really? So the deal is we're grafted into the vine so that we can produce fruit, so that we can continue to grow. And if not, we are then cut off to be burned. Now, if you remember last year, I think it was Colin Pye shared with us the growth cycle of a church. You want to pop up the next slide for us, Adrian? I'm sure you remember this. And it's pretty much the same sort of thing, isn't it? So on this slide, we get birth, growth, stability. So you've got the vine grafting in stability. So we begin to grow. Where we've got decline, that's when we our opportunity to produce fruit. And we can come round on that blue line to produce fruit. or we may get another couple of seasons to try to produce fruit. So on the red, green or blue line, we can produce fruit and become more stable again. But if not, it dies. The church dies, and it simply dies because there's nobody to take over as those of us that are getting older in years pop off and go home to glory. So there's nothing else to continue with, and that particular vine dies. And that's not the purpose of the vine. So I want to ask you, as I leave you to think about this, I want to ask you, I think I've got on here three questions. One, oh, it's four questions actually, but are we growing? That's our first question. And we really have to look at this in our individual lives and in our life as a church. And we have to be honest. Are we growing? Are we producing fruit, or are we just going through a motion and just keeping the people that are in there going, but there's no growth, there's no fruit produce? The next question then is, do we want to be pruned? Because pruning hurts. Pruning of a church really hurts, because it means people leave, they might get disgruntled and go or whatever. New people come in with new ideas and new ways of doing things. It can sometimes be an extremely painful process to be pruned. But the answer is, we have to be pruned because we need to produce more growth. And the pruning produces more growth. And the question that I want to ask at the end, my last question for you to think about, is, are we still attached to the true vine? Or are we a vine that's trying to go it alone? And I think maybe that's a question for many churches today. Are we still attached to the true vine? Or are we struggling to try and be a vine in our own right? Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that when you spoke to people, you spoke in such simplistic terms. And much as I'm not a gardener, I do understand and get this idea of pruning to produce fruit. I pray for each person listening to this message that we would be willing to be regrafted into the vine, to produce fruit and to be pruned, even though that may cause us pain and upset, that we might become more fruitful. I pray that in Kingsthorpe, our church, our congregation would be a fruitful congregation, and that we would see people coming in and listening and hearing the message as you open their hearts and they respond. We ask this in your name. Amen. And we are going to hear a song. I don't know this song, but it fits very well with the message. You are the vine and we are the branches. think those words really sort of sum up the message of the true vine, and words that we should maybe take to heart. Adrian and Stephanie are going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. So I'm handing over to them now. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, Martin. As we come to our time of prayers, let us begin by watching a short video clip from Mission India.
Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for our church, for our world, and for those we love and for ourselves. Lord, continue to bless your church that it may reveal your presence and the power of the resurrection. May the church community rejoice in the renewal of their lives in Christ and to celebrate in joy, and in that joy, reach out to others and speak the good news of Jesus. We ask your blessing on all who are new to their search of faith in you, and pray for all who are struggling with doubt and darkness. We pray for all who reject you and walk their own path. We pray for their redemption. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, bless the world with your peace, the peace it cannot achieve on its own. We pray for peace between nations and peoples and ask your blessings upon all peacemakers. We pray for all who live in fear of the virus, especially in India. For the dispossessed and refugees. We pray for young and old, for the weak, for the hungry, and for the sick, Lord. Bring them peace. We pray for our world here in Northampton, for those struggling to feed families, for those in debt and those in poor housing. We pray for their distress and for their comfort. Enable us as a church to help where we can, to see and to act as you reveal their plight to us. Help your church to be an instrument in their lives, and may they see the power of Jesus in our actions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, bless our homes and families with the joy of your presence. May our homes be ever open to you and your love. We pray for all who struggle with chronic illness and pain, for those who are lonely and for those who mourn. Bring comfort to all in need, and may we be the instrument to bring them your peace. We pray for our hospitals, hospice, and places of care. We pray for all carers and for those who visit and comfort the sick, for those who listen, and for those who pray. Protect all those we love from harm, and we pray especially for families who are separated. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for our weakness and failings, for those times when we have failed you, for the times we have justified a reason for looking the other way, for the unkind words we have thought, and the failure to listen to those in need. Lord, forgive us and make us whole again. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ, as we all say together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian and Stephanie, for leading us in that. We're going to sing our final song together. This is The Splendour of the King, How Great is Our God. Let's sing together. Age to age just stands. Let us pray to bring our meeting together to a close. Father, we thank you for all that we've heard today, and I pray that you would help us to become more fruitful in our lives for you. Help us to be honest with ourselves, look at the fruitfulness or non-fruitfulness of our lives, that we may come before you again and be regrafted into the vine. May we be willing to share our story, that we can declare to friends and family and people that we come across at work about how great our God is, as we've just sung, and that we may spread the good news that Jesus is alive and saves today. So in this week, in whatever we do, whatever our plans, whatever our goals, Lord, that may we focus upon you. And we pray specifically now, I want to pray for Titus as he follows this vision of becoming a counsellor. And I pray that you would give him purity of heart, that in the job, if he's elected, he would be able to hold to his faith, as well as doing the good that he wants to do in being a representative. May he be somebody that people look up to and trust. We ask all these prayers, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. And let us say the grace together. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
and the fellowship
of the Holy Spirit be with us all, forevermore. Amen.
Bless you all. Have a really good week.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. We have a few notices. As tomorrow is a bank holiday, we're not going to have the prayer meeting tomorrow, but we will be having the normal prayer meeting on Wednesday and Friday at 11. Next Sunday morning, the service will be in church at 11, led by Reverend Romeo Pedro, and it will also be Zoomed here. And if you wish to be in church and have not already booked, please book your place with Janet Malloy. But if you're not going to be in church, please do join with us in the usual way on Zoom here, and we will have that joint service. And King's Kids are meeting in the church hall next Sunday morning as well. So if you are coming to the service in the church, your entry will be via the main entrance in High Street, just to comply with COVID restrictions of avoiding mixing where we can avoid that. So that's our notices for the week. Anybody else, anything they wish to mention before we part today? In which case, thank you very much. Thank you, Martin, once again. Thank you, Mar, for reading for us today. And let's go and enjoy the rest of our Sunday. Whatever we may be doing, let us enjoy it. And let us remember that we are and should be part of the true vine. Thank you, everybody. God bless.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 I have to say, Martin. Get well soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you, Martin.
All right. Thank you.
Everyone, good. I can leave now.